Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Destiny Unlocked by Auburn Tempest and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Rachel DeLude. Chapter 1. Let's do the time warp again. Dancing in the front hall with Emmett, I've got my arms up and am rocking my pink dress and white sweater. He looks hilariously awesome in fishnets, a black leather bodice, and navy eyeshadow. "Come on, Irish!" he shouts up the stairs. "Stop stalling! Let's see your costume!" Ciara runs up the basement steps, her magenta costume slightly more French-made than the original, but hey, if you've got it, flaunt it. "How cute!" I point from her to him and back again. "You're both wearing thigh highs and garters. It's a marital bonding moment." Ciara laughs. "And killing it. Look at those legs. I never thought I'd say it, but my hubby looks as good in heels and leather lingerie as I do." Emmett lifts his arms and gives us a runway turn right as the back door opens. Dylan walks in with his plus one, and I back up to check out their costumes. "Riff Raff and Columbia. Nice!
Looking good, bro."
Dylan escorts Evangeline inside our back hall and closes the door behind her.
"See, Angel? I told you Emmett makes a fine-looking female."
"Oh, stop." Emmett bats his sparkly gold eyelashes and rolls his shoulders forward to make cleavage. Evangeline's laughter rings through the air and makes everyone smile. It's like hearing a happy little songbird on a sunny summer morning. The full-figured blonde with corkscrew curls emits a loveliness that radiates from her. I've resisted the urge to ask Dylan flat out which of the many magical sects she belongs to, but it hasn't been easy. I don't want to be rude, but I'm crazy curious. We've only spent time with Eva twice before tonight. The night of the fur ball, when everything went to shit, and at Kevin's and Callum's wedding, when my attention was all over the place. What do I really know about this girl? Nada. Dylan calls her Angel, so I think that's a clue, but I had a chat with Myra about the hierarchy of angels. There are many kinds with many different purposes within the heavenly choir. Or maybe she's not an angel and he only calls her that. She flashes a full dimple smile and gestures at our costumes. Dylan said it was an all-out Rocky Horror night, and he was right. You all look wonderful. I curtsy and hold out my skirt. We try. Come in. We're pre-drinking before we leave for the club. What can we get you? FYI, we've stocked our bar, and we've all spent time as bartenders in our aunt's pub. Stepmother's pub, Emmett corrects. I make a face at him. I'm still not used to that. Anyway, my point is, you can pretty much ask for anything and we'll get you set up.
A Cosmo would be lovely.
Oh, yummy choice.
Emmett checks with Ciara, and when she nods, he winks and gestures for us to head toward the living room.
You ladies get comfy and I'll play the part of the bartender tonight.
I lead the way toward the front of the house as Sloane jogs down the stairs. He's dressed in a plain blue dress shirt, slacks, and a beige jacket. For other people, this might be a normal outfit. For Sloane McKenzie, it's probably the strangest costume of the group. He jogs down the stairs and frowns at me.
You don't like it.
He pulls at the pants and scowls at the jacket.
It feels awful. What is this made of?
I giggle and look at Eva. Sloane is used to the finer things in life. He's a clothes whore and has likely never had a poly blend touch his beautiful skin in all his life. Sloane frowns at me and smiles at Dylan's date.
It's wonderful to see you again, Eva. You mustn't let Dylan keep you to himself so much. We'd love to have you drop in more often.
Yes, we would, I add. The flush on Dylan's face is unfamiliar. Honestly, this whole scenario is unfamiliar. Since when is Dylan not the cockiest guy in the room?
Call me greedy, he says. But I wanted Eva to myself before foisting the entire family on her. Clan Cool tends to be a bit much. I didn't want any of you to scare her off. I laugh. Pot kettle much? You're the worst of us. If we should cordon off anyone to keep from spooking new people, it's you. Emmett slides three cosmopolitans in short-stemmed martini glasses across the island's counter and looks at Sloane and Dylan.
Guinness or whiskey, boys?
Whiskey,
they say in unison.
Jinx,
Dylan shouts, punching Sloane in the shoulder.
Jeez, Irish, it's like you don't even try.
Sloane rubs his shoulder and looks at me, bewildered. I chuckle. No siblings, remember? Give him a break and remember what you said about making non-cools feel welcome. Dylan snorts.
Sloane's been a cool since the beginning. He's our late bloomer.
I'm glad he remembers it like that. In truth, Dylan didn't take to Sloane in the beginning because of how he first tested me and my druid skills. He traumatized Katie while pretending to mug me, and that didn't go over well. I thought Katie might have been the one for Dylan. Nope. Even with Katie, Dylan was only ever surly, saucy, and protective. He was never twisted up or lost in the emotions of dating her. Eva might well have done what no woman before has managed. She's truly turned his head. I hide my smile behind my drink and sip the fruity delight. So, Eva, tell us, are we as bad as Dylan makes us seem? Do you have siblings to compare us to? Dylan frowns at me and tips back his tumbler, emptying the glass with three large swallows.
You don't have to answer that.
I don't mind. Dylan gives me the stink eye and I shrug. What? That's not prying, that's making conversation. Eva chuckles at my brother. Yes, I have many brothers and sisters, hundreds actually. I'm not sure what she sees in my reaction, but she's laughing again. While they get rambunctious and sometimes spark a lively conversation, no, my relationship with them is nothing like you share.
Hundreds of siblings? I repeat. Can you imagine?
Emmett asks. I look from Em to Dylan and shake my head. Nope, I can't wrap my head around that.
How can you have hundreds of siblings?
Emmett asks.
Were your parents part of some empowered love-in commune or something?
Dylan's scowl deepens.
What kind of question is that, fucktard?
Emmett shrugs. Sorry, just curious. No offense taken, Emmett. She chuckles again. It's perfectly understandable that you'd be curious about the woman your brother is spending time with. I'm an angel, so immortality tends to increase our numbers.
So I was right.
No wonder I didn't recognize your particular energy signature when we first shook hands. I don't know that I've ever encountered another angel. She sips her drink and smiles. Then I'm happy to be your first. I gulp down my drink and slide my glass back to Emmett to go again. Then I pause and look back at Eva. Is it okay if we get our buzz on? I don't know angel protocol. Dylan groans and runs a hand over his face.
Don't make this weird, Fee.
I'm not. I look around at the group and frown.
Was that weird?
No, it's fine. Evangeline says.
It's fine,
she repeats to Dylan.
Please don't go out of your way to change anything because of me. I'm happy to be here and very hard to offend.
I laugh. The hard-to-offend thing is a relief. I tend to offend people often. Just know I don't mean to. I simply don't filter well.
There's nothing wrong with that. And no,
she downs her Cosmo and sets the empty glass on the counter next to mine.
Getting a buzz started is a great idea.
I'll warn you, though, getting an angel tipsy is a different kind of experience. Dylan grins, and it's the first glimpse I've seen of the brother I know and love.
No complaints there.
I'm not sure I'm ready for the story behind their shared smile.
So, the two of you met at Dionysus' housewarming party, Ciara says. Is that right?
Dylan nods.
Andromeda arrived late and brought a few friends. Evangeline was part of the late arrivals.
The next morning was when he first told me he was leading the Got Laid parade.
I remember. Emmett sets Evangeline and me up for round two, tops up Ciara, and sets Dylan up with a two-fingered dram this time around. Okay, can I ask all the awkward questions so we can get them out of the way? Eva blinks. Sure, go ahead. Emmett grins, and I'm almost afraid to... Do you have wings? Can you fly? Do you live in the heavens and sleep on a cloud? Do you really have four faces, and if so, what do they look like? Most importantly, why are you dating Dylan? Dylan flashes Emmett a middle-fingered salute. You have to excuse my Egypt brother. He's suffering from stage 5 stupid. You don't have to answer any of those questions. I'm fine, sweetie. Stop worrying. Eva lifts her chin as if trying to recall the rapid-fire questions. Yes, I have wings. Yes, I can fly. No, I live in a condo and sleep on a memory foam mattress. Yes, I have several faces, but that's hard to explain and more ethereal, so I can't show you without burning your eyes out of your skull. Most importantly, I'm dating Dylan for the sextastic orgasms. Dylan chokes on his whiskey and bends over, sputtering and red in the face. Hilarious. I love this girl. I step beside Dee and pound his back as he spits and sputters. All righty then. Great answers. Dylan accepts the napkin Sloane offers him and pats his face dry. Fee isn't the only one who lacks a filter. Eva grins and side hugs him, sliding her arms around his waist to rest on his opposite hip. You said just to be me. Absolutely. I take my glass to the sink to rinse and leave for later. Always be yourself. I doubt there's anything you could say or do that would faze us. On that note, Emmett says, should we go and act foolishly in a drag club for the night? This corset is killing me. I burst out laughing. Sounds perfect. Sloane poofs us to the back room of Dora's drag club, Queens on Queen, and we file into the club and find our hostess with the mostess. It's been an odd month of transition with Dora, and with all the time Merlin has spent in Iceland with the dragons, I've barely had the chance to check in and find out how life without his empressness is going. Merlin told me he loved performing in drag and his life in the club, so that much hasn't changed. He's also told me to go with the pronoun of the person I see in front of me, so that's what I've been doing. Tonight she's 100% Pandora, club owner and drag queen entertainer extraordinaire. I wave as we file in, and she shuffles over to meet up with us. Brad and Janet, the couple of the evening. She leans in for a double kiss before moving on to Sloane. When she steps back, she winks at Emmett. Handfasting agrees with you, Em. You're looking more fabulous than ever. Emmett laughs. Thanks. Not too many men can say their wife did their makeup before they went out. Ciara laughs. It was strangely sexy. Callum laughs, joining us with Kevin. The two of you think everything is strangely sexy. Do the words strange and sexy go together? I ask. Sloane shakes his head. I don't think so, no. Callum waggles his brows. That's why you two are such a perfect Brad and Janet. I grab Callum's thigh garter and snap it. Ow! Damn it, Janet! That gets a round of chuckles from the fam jam, and our last two guests arrive. Oh my goodness, look at you two! My mouth drops open, and I pull out my camera to take pictures of Nikon as Frankenfurter and Dionysus as Columbia. Respect! Kevin raises his fist to bump the two of them. Dionysus, you're crushing the red metallic lips, my friend.
Thank you.
He flashes us a toothy grin and tips his gold sequined hat.
I admit, I love wearing cheetah prints and boas. I think I need to fill out my wardrobe with much more of it.
Hells yes, you do. Dora holds out her arms and gives us a full view of her cat print bodice. Now, all of you fabulous people, take your seats. I'm going to kick us off.
Are we dancing in the theater?
Emmett asks. Oh, Cookie, looking like that, you can do whatever you want. Damn cool, you make drag look good. Emmett grins, and Callum and Dylan laugh at him.
When Dora sashays off toward the stage, Dylan shakes his head.
I don't know why you look so proud of yourself, Em. She said you look good dressed up as an over-the-top guy in drag.
Emmett shrugs. The important part of that compliment was that I look good. I giggle and point at our row of seats.
Everyone, let's get ready to have some fun. We have first-timers here, so we gotta represent.
Represent!
My brothers repeat, pumping their fists in the air as we hustle our butts to take our seats. Chapter 2. Am I the only one who thinks it's a mystery of the universe how Dylan ended up in love with an angel? I stick my fork into the stack of raspberry chocolate chip pancakes and fan three out on my puddle of syrup. Emmett snorts while holding out his hand, and once I've poured a top layer of maple goodness on, I pass him the bottle.
The bigger mystery is how she fell in love with him. I think Dylan violates everything in the angel handbook.
Callum and Kevin dig into the back bacon and pass it along.
Dylan's not that bad, Callum says. He's just grouchy and opinionated.
And swears the most out of all of us, and sleeps around more, and holds grudges longer, I add.
And is the first to start a fight, and the least remorseful for his actions.
Callum chuckles.
Okay, on paper he doesn't test well, but maybe as an angel, Evangeline can gauge his soul or something.
He's a loyal, solid guy who lives by a code. He's protective of others, and would give his life for any one of us. I lifted my glass of juice. True story.
Or maybe he really is a superhero in the sack and she's in it for the orgasms,
Ciara adds. I laugh and almost spit pancake.
Or that.
The six of us are still chuckling about that when my phone rings and the African tribal call of the Lion King tells me Garnet is on the line. After patting my mouth with my napkin, I get up from the table and grab my phone from the island.
Good morning, boss man. How's life living on the wild side?
It could be better. I'm calling an emergency meeting at 10 o'clock.
Team Trouble or Lakeshore Guild?
It's a Guild of Governors meeting. Will you be in the country and able to attend?
I check the clock. So far, so good, but that's 45 minutes away. You never can tell what the world might throw at me.
I'd laugh if that was funny. Fine, barring any mass murder or mayhem, I'll see you there.
Agreed. It should be fine. I end the call and text an icon. If you're going to the meeting at 10, swing by and I'll go with you, if you don't mind the company.
I love your company, Red. You know that.
Okay, see you soon. I set the phone on the counter and rejoin the family breakfast. Sorry.
You mentioned 45 minutes. Does Garnet need us for something?
Only me this time around. He's calling an emergency Guild of Governors meeting.
Why? What's gone wrong now?
Callum asks. He didn't say. He requested my presence and went on to call the others, I suppose. I reclaim my cutlery and get back to enjoying my breakfast. I texted Nikon to see if he wants to go together. He'll be here soon to pick me up.
Ugh, gut.
Sloane sips from his coffee mug. I swallow and cast a sideways glance at him. You realize I don't need an escort. I'm perfectly capable of getting to and from a meeting without anything crazy happening. Cue the arched brows and crooked smiles around the table. Shut up, you guys. It's not like I'm a total disaster. I still have the odd moment of normalcy.
Odd is right, Sloane says.
While none of us would ever argue you're not capable of taking care of yourself, the truth is, when you have one of us with you, we all feel a little better.
Emmett nods.
It cuts down on the response time.
Callum snorts.
That's true. Then we know when you've been attacked or kidnapped or sucked back in time from the moment it happens instead of hours later. It gives us a chance to rally.
Har har, you guys are hilarious.
Are you saying we're wrong, Agra?
Well, no. But you don't have to think it's so amusing that my life is a centrifuge of whacked and weird.
Ugh, we might make light of it, love, but none of us find it amusing. I think it's safe to say we'd all prefer you not to have to deal with such things.
They all nod.
But knowing that's not likely,
Callum says, and snags a raspberry off Kev's plate.
Making fun of you is the next best thing.
I ignore the snickers and go back to eating my breakfast. You guys suck. Have I mentioned that lately? No? Well, you do. Cue a round of belly laughs at my expense. Yeah, you gotta love family. When I first learned the Lakeshore Guild of Empowered Ones held regular meetings, I envisioned a Hogwarts head table kind of gathering. Reality rarely lives up to my imagination. Garnet would never be confused with Dumbledore, and none of the others remotely resembled their on-screen counterpart, except maybe some Snape-like creepers. That was back in October of last year, and a lot can change in a short time. Not everyone turned out to be horrible. Suede, Zata, Nikon, and Garnet have grown to be some of my closest friends. Nikon especially. The Greek and I hit it off from minute one, but what I didn't know was he'd been waiting to meet me for centuries after his grandfather told him we'd be the best of friends. Time travel is trippy. When Nikon snaps into my living room at 9:45, I start the dishwasher and hug him. Hey, that was super fun last night. Thanks for joining. It was a blast. An evening out with your clan is guaranteed to be a good time. Dionysus had fun? He seems to. I think he's still a little cautious after the whole Loki thing, but he's bouncing back. I make a mental note to check in with him and meddle with his sex life. I know, that's not something a friend normally plans on doing, but Dionysus is a special case. Loki undermined his manly mojo. I want to make sure he's getting back on that horse. And when I say horse, I mean Earth to V. Nikon waves in front of my face and grins. Are you ready to roll? Yep, sorry. Give me two. I hold up my fingers and shuffle to the top of the basement steps. Bruin, we're ready to roll. You coming?
On my way.
I wait the beat it takes before the air around me swirls, and I feel the increased pressure in my chest as my bear companion takes his place. Grabbing my purse off the wall hook, I loop it over my head and settle it on my hip. Next, I come back to the living room and lean up the stairs. Okay, Nikon's here. We're going to go. Good luck, Kevin calls from their room. Let us know if the city is about to be invaded by dark fey forces and we should evacuate. Will do. Sloane poofs down and holds his fist up to Bump.
Good morning, Greek. How are you feeling after last night?
Good. It was a great time.
It was indeed.
Sloane chucks my chin and gives me a soft kiss goodbye.
Be good, Agra. Try not to get into too much trouble.
Keep an eye on her, Greek.
Always.
I roll my eyes at both of them, but they mean well, and they're not wrong. It never hurts to expect the unexpected when I leave the house. Or even when I stay in the house. Before we leave, Nikon raises a finger to catch Sloane's attention.
Hey, Irish, can I ask you a favor?
Of course. What is it?
A friend of mine had an item of great value and importance stolen from him, but he can't admit it, or there will be widespread repercussions. Do you think you could help me help him find it?
I smack his shoulder. Hello? What about me? Didn't you hear how I scried for Ireland's pacifier and solved the case of the skunk stolen Susu? Nikon grins.
This item is a magical antiquity. It falls squarely in Sloane's wheelhouse. Considering he's been mentoring you on all things druid, I figured he was the go-to guy on this.
Oh, don't look so dejected, love. You're not the perfect fit for every disaster, just most of them.
I chuckle. I suppose that's true.
It's also true that Irish is the emperor of empowered objects,
Nikon says.
The three of us will likely work together on this, but I think Sloane is the man to take the lead.
Sloane lowers his chin.
Thanks for the vote of confidence. What's the stolen item, and when would you like to get started tracking it down?
The item is Eros's bow, and we need to find it last week if possible.
Sloane chuckles.
Well, I don't have time travel on demand, so I'm not sure how I'll do on last week, but I can get started right away.
Eros's bow? I release my initial panic. You had me worried for a sec. So what if someone shoots love arrows indiscriminately into the crowd? Big whoop. The next thing we know, we'll be facing world peace.
Nikon runs his finger through the shaggy blonde hair hanging over his eyes.
That's if the people shot are unattached and a good match. Imagine if someone shot Myra with one of Eros's arrows and she left Garnet and Amari to be in love with, say, the Toronto chief of police. How do you think that would go?
Oh, that would be ugly.
Garnet would likely go full killer kitty, murder him, expose the empowered world, and cause a citywide manhunt.
Exactly. Love is an incredible gift in the right situation, but in the wrong hands, it's as dangerous a weapon as a ballistic missile or a bomb.
Gotcha. Okay, so who does he think stole it?
I'll take you two to see him after this meeting, but for now, we gotta go. We don't want Garnet to go killer kitty on us.
Sloane bends down to give me a chaste peck on the cheek.
In the meantime, I'll learn what I can about the bow and put some subtle feelers out into the empowered circles to see if anyone is talking about taking it or possibly selling it.
Thanks, Irish,
Nikon says.
Again, please play it close to the vest. The members of the Greek pantheon aren't the nicest bunch, and the gods and goddesses who fall within its purview try not to draw the attention of others.
I promise the utmost discretion.
I squeeze Sloane's hand and hook my arm around Nikon's for transport.
Speaking of not wanting to draw the attention of a nasty bunch, we need to go, or we'll be late for a meeting. While the monthly meetings for the Lakeshore Guild of the Empowered Ones are often at different restaurants or locales around Toronto, when someone calls an emergency meeting, it's guild governors only. And it's always in the conference room at Garnet's downtown office. Before we enter the room, we grab the last two robes hanging on the hooks and shuck them on. Oh, goody, we're last.
Everyone knows cool kids are fashionably late.
Does the man who turns into a lion know that?
Oh, yeah. He'd be late, too, if he could.
Would you two jackasses like to stop jabbering in the hall and come take your seats?
Garnet sounds pissy, but that was only his exasperated pissy voice. His irate pissy voice has a lot more growl. Nikon makes a face at me, and I stifle a laugh. I fix his lapel, and he looks me over and gives me a thumbs up. The two of us walk in like scolded children, and Suede lifts her hand across the table and points at the two empty chairs beside her. Glancing down, I confirm we are, in fact, exactly on time, but decide not to make a point of it. Obvi, something has our not-so-benevolent leader wound up. We take our seats and give Garnet our undivided attention.
Now that we're all here and seated, let's get right to it. This morning I got word there's a mass gathering of Reapers in town.
Eyes widen around the table, and I get a distinct impression that this is very bad news.
If any of your sects are gearing up for something, I want to know now. This is the only time I'll accept your confession with full amnesty.
Conspiratorial gazes bounce around the table, and I finally give in to curiosity.
Sorry, could you 101 that for me? What does a mass gathering of Reapers mean?
When eyes start to roll, I raise my hand and expand on my question.
Obviously, I understand what a mass gathering is and am familiar with the concept of the Grim Reaper, but I mean in the context where you all look like you're regretting not wearing brown undies today.
Garnet stands at the head of the table and leans on his knuckles.
Reapers are warriors who serve death. They're neutrally aligned and tasked with escorting souls of the recently departed to their final destination, regardless of where that destination might be.
Up or down? Got it.
Garnet arches an ebony brow.
It's a little more complicated than that.
Suede shifts in her seat beside me.
Many sects have their versions of the afterlife. The Elysium Fields, Valhalla, Zion, Eden, Shangri-La. Or conversely, Dystopia, Hell, Pandemonium, and Hades. Then there are the in-betweens like Purgatory, Limbo, or the Netherlands.
Zata nods across the table.
Reapers are the beings who escort all of us to our appropriate resting place.
Death Ubers. Got it. So does a mass gathering have to be bad? Maybe they hold ruination conventions or...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?